Okay, so good night, everybody.
Have you been doing anything with the music?
IQ. So, welcome to the LaRouche Youth Movement of Canada in Montreal. So, a lot of things are going on right now, and we're going to go through a class which is going to try to remobilize you in what is actually really happening in the world, because there's a lot of distractions going on. And I'm going to give you a little briefing about, you know, political briefing about what's, you know, what we receive in terms of intelligence, and to try to situate what's going on with this guy, Al Gore. So, basically, you still have a big mess in Iraq. And there's this guy, General Barry McCaffrey. He's a retired U.S. Army force. And he went out with a report basically saying that, well, the U.S. military is winning battles and all that. He's been there, like, he's been in Iraq for... he's been there in 2002, 2004, and he went back a couple weeks ago, and now he wrote a report saying, well, I'm not as optimistic as before. Saying basically, well, it's a mess, and I don't see any solution to that. So basically he says, well, the U.S. Army, you know, the forces there are winning battles, but the war is already lost. So the question is, and what? No. Well, the question is, we're losing our troops. That's what LaRouche has been emphasizing in a memo that we received this morning. He basically said, well, you have some wars which are started, and we're going to go a bit into that later. But you know, it's basically wars which shouldn't be happening, and they are meant to destroy nation states, meant to destroy the forces of the nation. But that's a report which was just issued, and it's pretty important because, I mean, it sets another tone to what's going on. Whatever George Bush says, you know, it's, you know, we're gonna stay the course. Well, you don't have any army. Well, what are you gonna do? So the question is, well, you know, there's a lot of sanity with our organizing in Washington, D.C. is coming back, but it's going to take some time. In Iran now, probably you've heard that there were some British sailors who were taken prisoners by Iranian guards. So basically... I don't know.
They're treated very well.
Huh?
They're being treated very well, this way.
Oh yeah, well, yeah. They've given a video of them eating well and all that, and the woman, the only woman.
They wear a scarf too to cover her face.
Okay. But basically, they said the Iranian government, or the envoy for the Iranian government, said that these, well, probably the women would be released, whether today or tomorrow, in the days coming. And, well, they say basically, she said in the video that they were passing that, yeah, well, we were underwater and we were taken, so... You know, well, what were they doing there? You know, oh, we were on a vacation and, you know, decided to go in the Iranian water. You know, there's no problem.
She has admitted to being in Iranian water.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah. Yeah, she said on the tape. That's what, I didn't see the tape though. But that's what is reported.
Yeah.
And I mean, so basically they said, yeah, we were, you know, it's a, they were taken in a region where basically it's been a fight over that territory for the last 27 years. So it's not like, some say it's Iraqi water, some say it's Iranian water, some say, you know, nobody's water.
Yeah,
so you know, let's. Yeah, well, so it's a disputed territory.
Yeah.
You know.
So. It's
disputed. It's really weird. Okay, so, but basically, you look at the tension which is going on in the Persian Gulf, and I mean, when you have like two aircraft carriers just there, and you have also the U.S. military making some exercises with their aircraft, you know, what's going on? It's really they're preparing. There's a tension growing, and now Blair also said that they would basically escalate on that. So there's not going to be any type of business going around with Iran. Or they're just going to try to get the sailors out. So one might ask, was this coordinated with the exercises of the U.S. military? Because the aircrafts are being used right now, some type of exercises. So was it coordinated? You know, that's a good question. And it brings us, you know, into a momentum where some analysts said that basically we're close to a new Gulf War. You know? So that's for Iran. That's what we have right now. So it's thrilling time that we're in. Southwest Asia. Also, there was a conference of the Arab nations where basically they discussed a peace agreement, which was out in 2002. But now they're trying to basically make it happen because you had this report. I don't know if you've heard about that, the Baker-Hamilton report, which was issued a couple months ago, where basically a bipartisan committee in the U.S. Congress and Senate said that, well, you know, you have a crisis in Southwest Asia. Well, what do you do? Well, they need economic development. So basically, they are going, the Arab nations are going with that. And was the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, I don't know how to pronounce that, was there also. And he said, well, the Arab Peace Initiative is one of the pillars for the peace process. This initiative sends a signal that the Arabs are serious about achieving peace. When I was in Israel, I urged my Israeli friends to take a new look at the initiative. Here in Riyadh, I also urge you, my Arab friends, to benefit from this initiative and reiterate your commitment to it, because the situation is dangerous. So obviously they know that the tension in the Persian Gulf could start a war, and that's also what the Saudi King Abdullah said. So, well, whether we come to an agreement or, you know, we're gonna give this dossier to the warlords. You know, so.
But the Israelis used it today.
Well, so far, yeah, they tried to have a hard line on that, you know, and it comes also for all the push behind the curtain, you know, to put Netanyahu as the prime minister of Israel. You know, the Olmert government is not so stable, you know, but it's mainly the Cheneyaks, we call the neoconservative, but you know, all this lobby who are trying to bring this guy Netanyahu, who's basically a war freak, and you know, would start a war when the possibility is on the table, right? But yeah, I mean, there's some good things also. You know, keep in mind they're trying to do something at least, and they rejected the line coming from, you know, the Bush administration. Which is also pretty interesting. If you look at Condi Rice,
yeah.
she was around and she was trying to basically, set something, you know, I don't know really what she wanted to do. Basically, just, you know, set a confrontation, an alliance with countries to have a confrontation with Southwest Asia countries. But basically, people know that these guys, they're just there for war. So Condi Rice was just rejected all the time. It's just, well, we've heard you before, you know. We know what you want.
Yeah.
And it's not going to pass, you know. Just that's kind of interesting because, you know, they put aside the U.S., you know.
Can I just say something?
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're saying, well, Condi, you may say nice things when you come here, but we know when you go back to your country, there's this guy, his name is Dick Cheney, and he says no to whatever you set up. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we're not stupid.
Yeah. And obviously, they feel the heat. So, basically, yeah. You know, they are rejecting the policies of the Bush administration, whereas they are taking a stance on this agreement, the Baker Hamilton report, which was, you know, Bush did not read it or did not have the capacity anyway to read it. So, I mean, so it's yet to be passed in the Congress, but basically. That's one part of the deal. On the U.S. side, you have the housing market, which is still collapsing, and there's something also going on. It's not just you can't just take it from the U.S. side because it's a worldwide system in which we're in. Globalization, it's everywhere though. So you got to look also at France, and it's interesting because you have these kinds of subprime mortgages, which were legalized. There were, you know, it's not common to send a house to somebody who's just homeless, no revenue and all that. It's kind of weird to just say, hey buddy, that's your keys, take the house, you know, because they were building so much house, the market was so flourishing that, you know, they said, well, everybody could have a house even though they don't have a job, you know, we're gonna give them many credit cards and everything will be fine. Because, you know, it's expansion. The market is growing. So, well, basically in France, they don't have subprime mortgages. It's not like they don't give houses to anybody. You know, but they have the housing bubble, which is also growing. And there are some significant numbers. If you look at this, they say that's coming from Standard Poor. Is it? Yeah. Yeah, well, you say that French property construction plummeted 15.1% in February, and home prices have begun to slip. The French house prices had grown 210% since 1999, compared to 190% in the U.S. Last year, it slowed to 7.2%, and in January, became negative. So negative 0.6%. Some people are saying, well, what's going on? You know. And basically you have conferences also around that. You have the sixth largest US owned builder in the United States who's on a FBI probe right now. They're trying to find out, well, you're lending how do you lend your money for these people to get houses? How does that work? Is that really legal? You know, are you fair with that? And you have an American financial analyst who went or gave an interview to a European paper, saying basically, well, we have a bubble. Get out. Don't invest in that bubble. It's kind of blow. So everything is wild right now. We don't really know what's going to happen. And Senator Schumer asked Ben Bernanke, you know, the follower of our friend Bubble Greenspan, he asked, well, the people in New York City are telling me that, you know, it's spreading this bubble and this collapse, basically, of the economy, financial economy, is spreading to the subprime and you know, all the mortgage securities. Is that right? And basically, well, Ben Bernanke was like, no, don't worry, there's nothing happening. Everything's fine, I'm in control. You know? And he testified also this morning, but basically, you know, these claims that Senator Schumer was explaining, was trying to have a response on, he basically set a stage, you know, for a coming moment, you know, where probably the situation is whether it's going to be better or worse. So we're going to see if this guy Bernanke lied to us. But basically, he was asking, you know, people on Wall Street are freaking out. It's not just like, hey, some guy in the street in New York City told me that, you know, something is happening. People on Wall Street don't know where the system is heading to. So, there's also this question of people losing their home. And right now you have a couple of states who are trying to basically bail out the banks to, basically save these people. But you know, LaRouche has said, basically, you know, if you do that, if you just issue some bonds, the state bonds, it's not going to work. You're just going to, you know, destroy your economy. It has to come from the federal government, because it's the only body constitutionally who has the power to issue credit, to issue money. So basically, you have some sane people also in Massachusetts who are trying to basically just stop these foreclosures by putting emergency legislation. But, you know, if nothing is done on the side of the government, of the Congress, well, you know, as maybe, yeah, the same, well, yeah, Al Gore says, you know, you can say, you can kiss goodbye to polar bears. Well, you know, on the other side, if we don't stop this financial collapse, you can't kiss goodbye to the economy overall, you know. And I want to go into Al Gore in a few seconds, but there's also this Economist article which was published, and maybe you've heard that the Economist has published an article a few months ago on this question of how great was the British Empire, you know, like selling opium to China, you know, destroying India, things like that. No, they didn't put it in the article, but you know, we know better, and they are coming back and saying, well, what's going to happen? You know, looking at the 50 past year, what's going to happen in 50 years now? And they are saying basically, well, the United States will crash because of this financial bubble that we just discussed. And Europe is going to take over, basically. And, you know, we're going to see, you know, all these big powers like China, India, the United States that we see today are going to be just, you know, down. And heroes in that story are like the Minister of Agriculture or Environment, this guy Miliband, which is tied to Al Gore, pretty close to Al Gore right now. So basically, you know, these guys are coming back, and you know, they stress the crisis, but they, you know, they don't really have a solution. They're just hypothesizing on what's going to happen, and you know, you want to return to the British Empire. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Would it be the European Empire?
Or the European Empire. Yeah, the European Union Empire.
So they were, in this Economist article, they were specifically saying that the British Empire
uh-huh.
would be revived under absolute globalization.
Mm-hmm. And that's their scheme.
That's the Economist?
The Economist, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Economist Review.
One of these EIRs, I can find it. Yeah, we got an EIR where there's excerpts from the article from the Economist
Yeah.
But that's their scheme.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, what they're dependent on is, well, you could probably go more into this, but they're dependent on the U.S. government becoming impotent in the midst of this financial collapse to really consolidate what they're referring to as absolute globalization.
Yeah.
Which would be wrong out of Britain.
There was this analogy where, you know, it's globalization doesn't work. It's like, you know, you're trying to basically see if you can breathe underwater, or if human beings could live underwater. So then you put your head into the bat with water, and it's just because you didn't put it long enough. You know, you went out to breathe. You should stay in the water more to see if you can actually arrive to live in the water. It's like globalization. You know, we just don't have enough globalization. You know, you should just push it to the extreme. You know, total globalization everywhere in the world to see if it works, right? Otherwise, we can't know. So it's a kind of analogy where, you know, obviously that sounds stupid, but, you know, it's crazy also. They were praising, in this article of The Economist, they were praising all the benefits of, you know, the economy, the British imperial economy, how it benefited the world with more freedom, with more, you know, everything, more drugs. They omitted that, but that brings me also to this question of Al Gore, because basically, I won't go into all of the science and climate change. That's not really the, I guess that you've done your homework, or we got a lot of, you know, documentation on that that you can look at. But basically, the issue is globalization. But these guys, I mean, it's a big British imperial scheme, where basically they're trying to. It's like I heard this discussion about, you know, national versus private army. That's this question right now. Is it that, you know, if we have a crisis, if the system really falls down in the coming period, what is going to happen? Is it going to be that, you know, we're going to have a kind of recovery, FDR type of recovery, where the nation state is going to, you know, bring back some sanity into the financial market worldwide? Or is it going to be, you know, that kind of universal globalization pushed by financial interests? You know, so that's basically what Al Gore is playing right now. He's trying to basically bring all of his, you know, genocidalist measures. Some people call them green, but it's more brown than green. But basically, his measures, he's trying to basically plot the states against, you know, national governments, so that they basically destroy any kind of authority of their country. That's what's going on. And all these meetings and conferences that he's giving are on this idea, you know, how we're going to build a cadre of environmental ambassadors to basically take over and push for these measures, which are genocidalist. That's the issue, really, and that's the problem right now that we are confronted with in the streets when we go deploy. Is that a lot of people want to do good. That's great. But now, you know, what is going to be the method used, or, you know, what do you want to do good for? And that's where sometimes good intentions are perverted by people who have other intentions. And that's where Al Gore is, you know, a real menace for humanity right now, for civilization. Because he's not really for the environment. He's not for human beings. He's totally a racist. What he did when he went in South Africa to stop Thabo Mbeki, the South African president, from starting, you know, producing medicine against AIDS. You know, he just shut that down. He said, you know, if you do that, we're gonna put an embargo on you. So he made sure, basically, that, you know, Africa is like 80% of AIDS, you know, in the world. So he made sure that this genocide, which is going on right now, because of lack of development, would continue. Because of all these, you can go back at Henry Kissinger's NSSM 200. All these policies were made so that, you know, this continent stay free, industrial free. You know, no development, no industries. Because Al Gore says, you know, too much carbon dioxide. It's not good.
Yeah.
Too much carbon dioxide.
Came from our farts.
Yeah, Africans farts too much. No.
And you know, some people will believe it once you say it often enough.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the idea of the big lie.
Cool by now. It's not.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, all of this question of global warming, which was refuted because before it existed, you know, is basically a big lie. But if you repeat it enough, it's like this question of, you know, the Taliban or the weapons of mass destruction. If you can spin this info on television, and, you know, just, you know, you black out people from anything else, they're gonna believe it because there's nothing else to hear about. So
you don't believe in global warming?
Huh?
You don't believe in global warming?
Well, that's a kukri. That's free. The question is, right now, what is going on is that you are in a warming period, whereas 30 years ago you were in a cooling period, and 100 years ago we were in a warming period, and all this thing about carbon dioxide is also a fraud. But I mean, we have the documents if you want to look at this. But basically that's the question right now. These guys like Al Gore are going, and they're basically thugs, they're going to different countries just basically saying, well, look, if you want to help yourselves, if you want to be friendly to the environment, just don't develop, you know, otherwise it's going to be bad. You know, think about your children. Well, if you don't develop, you know, you what's going to happen to your children? That's another question. You know, it's always this precautionary principle where you say, well, look, you know, look at, it's like nuclear energy. You know, why isn't Al Gore talking about nuclear energy, whereas it's the greenhouse gas free type of power? You know, so if you want to reduce, you know, this thing about global warming and carbon dioxide, why don't you talk about, you know, this type of energy, like nuclear energy? Well, Al Gore said, well, I don't like nuclear energy because it's too powerful. You know, people could do, we could sustain too many people, basically. That's the thing. If you went to his event, it basically is saying, well, the problem is population, it's industrial, the industrial revolution in which we're in, you know, forwards.
Really? So he admits to he openly admits to being worried about population growth or wanting to
uh-huh.
to curtail population.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like cleaning cleaning the planet
from human beings.
But for who? Not for humans, because there's going to be less.
Mm-hmm.
You want less humans and a cleaner planet.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah.
Clean planet for.
Why he wants less human beings?
Well, all right. Yeah, I was going.
What's in his mind?
Uh huh. I was going there because basically, if you look, that's a sign that we are bringing the street right now to organize people and confront them with basically who is the real Al Gore. Most of the people have not read his book. You know, they just don't know what Al Gore is saying. But that's right there. It's, you know, he says, no goal is more crucial to humanity than stabilizing the world's population. right? That's what goes on. But, you know, he's if you look at the connection, we are his best friends.
can I add something to that?
Yeah.
It just it occurred to me long before I ever found this organization, did a history degree, and it's true of European history that after industrialization, there's a sharp increase in population. However, within a generation or two, that population leveled out flat as a pancake and even started to come down a bit. I lived in South Korea, which is an industrialized country, and they too are at a point where they're actually considering it a crisis because their population is shrinking. Right? This is a country that that can eat as much as it wants. It's fully industrialized and a very powerful economy, producing lots of cars and cell phones and computers and all kinds of things. And its population is decreasing. So historically, human population decreases once everybody has the basic essentials. Once people are fed, and once you are relatively assured that if you have a child, that child will survive to adulthood, you are less likely to have 8 children. And you are less likely to have more children. People have more children because they are not sure if their kids are going to make it to adulthood.
You think that's happening in China or India, for example?
Yeah.
Like people are concerned that not all the kids will survive because they're having like 5, 6 kids.
I'm saying that historically, if you look at countries that go from undeveloped to through industry to developed, that there is initially a sharp increase in population because more people are surviving, and then it levels out. Just you're safe. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but like if I think about having kids, I don't really think about having 9 children. I think about like maybe 2 if I can afford them, you know. Like, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to have to worry about the fact that my kids might die, you know. Like, because we live where there's enough food and there's
clean
water.
Okay, well, yeah.
But I just
want
to point out wanted to point out was the fact that Al Gore is for stabilizing the population, but he's doing something. In keeping countries from developing, he is doing something which is actually potentially adding to growing population, but not in a very nice way, because these countries don't have these populations.
But that denotes also this conception that Al Gore as of human beings. That's the central question, you know. We can say everything about Al Gore, but the question is, he aids human beings. That's the thing, you know.
But his thinking
is for depopulation.
He's wrong.
But that's the problem. He thinks that we're just animals.
But there is a problem of pollution.
Well, what's a?
Because my professor is telling me, for example, in China right now.
Yeah.
Even though they're producing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, now in certain areas in China, like they can't even eat the food there. It's so contaminated.
I was just in China.
Well,
you can eat food in China. I was there.
We could get back to it.
Well, but yeah,
I mean, we
can discuss all of these issues afterward. But, I mean, the question is to understand what is basically, you know, knowing the situation around the world, knowing what's going on, you know, in the U.S., in Southwest Asia. And now looking at this Gore, you know, this Al Gore, going around the world to basically depopulate, you know. Well, he is on the front of every newspaper, you know. We intervened on this event, you know, at the Palais des Congrès.
Okay.
And nobody was talking about that. So basically the question is, what's going on? You know, they're basically pushing a lot of this guy, whereas, you know, World War III could just begin next week. That's kind of insane.
Against them?
Huh?
The last point again?
No.
Yeah, the last point. Well, I said Al Gore is promoted everywhere, you know, by every media as being your new eco-friend. You know, he's your new eco-friend because he's going to save you, save the planet, and you know, so he's the guy promoted everywhere. He receives an honorary degree at Concordia. He receives an Oscar. He receives. Therefore, he must be cool. He must be right. You know, he's a great guy. But he's diverting the attention, you know, of this intention by people like Dick Cheney to start World War III, maybe next week. Yeah. So the question is, we got to get rid of the Gore, because he's producing more and more Gore. So that's, but it's basically that idea of globalization, which is really important, and. This intention behind what Gore is doing is basically just giving his view on what are human beings, and basically he doesn't really consider us much more different as animals, as cattle. So basically, one cow more or less, you know, what's the difference? But don't touch the trees, I'll cut your arm, you know. That's so. So that's the thing. You got to see what is the intention behind him. And we've put a lot of, you know, documentation on what he did, basically also, you know, trying to destroy civil rights movement, like his father trying to, targeting basically some mayors in Tennessee and appointed who were black. That's his racist root. So, but basically, that's the question, you know, when this thing, which is, you know, this global warming fraud, when it's believed, and you know, diffused everywhere in the society, when science doesn't have a hold, well, that's where basically, you can call that a new fashion, basically, because it's gonna direct the actions of people, not on anything. You know, rational, but basically because, you know, Al said so, so therefore he's right. You
know? Fear.
Huh?
Again, it's fear.
Yeah, it's fear. And that's what is the big problem. And a lot of people are responding to that right now in Europe and elsewhere. And you have this documentary of Channel 4 in England just a couple of weeks ago. And basically, people are reacting, but we still have to bring back people into real science. Now, that's what Jerry is going to go through. But I wanted to read you a quote, because it shows a bit, you know, it's kind of the same argument or same rhetoric which is used, but a bit less nationalist. So... Let's say, yeah, no, I won't change it. Okay, in every German breast, the German forest quivers with its caverns and ravines, crags and boulders, waters and winds, legends and fairy tales, with its songs and its melodies, and awakens a powerful yearning and a longing for home. In all German souls, the German forest lives and weaves with its depth and breadth, its stillness and strength, its might and dignity, its riches and its beauty. It is the source of German inwardness, of the German soul, of German freedom. Therefore, protect and care for the German forest for the sake of the elders and the youth, and join the new German League for the Protection and Consecration of the German Forest. So that was like, you know, in 1923. And that was like the guy, you probably heard about the National Socialist. Okay. Well, they were pretty eco-friendly too. They were green before they turned brown. That's why. What I said before, but basically I have many other quotes, but I don't want to just go on to this, but the question is, this question of the relation of human beings and nature, or, you know, question is, are we natural also? is basically the question we have to ask ourselves, you know, what are we doing and what should we be doing? Obviously, a lot of problems. We are facing a lot of problems, but people are looking at them from a standpoint where the baby boomer generation is in power, you know. And you're thinking about the baby boomers, you know, they were the hippies in the 1960s. And now they are the bank CEOs and all that, you know, basically running globalization, destroying nation states. And they don't really know what to do because they were brought into a culture where truth doesn't exist, you know, opinions. But that's funny also because I was saying to Jerry last night, well, you can't really be liberal if you fight for freedom. Can't be liberal on that issue. Can't compromise on that. But that's the problem with the baby boomer generation. And that's where basically this old, you know, hippie go back to the woods is related. And that's what LaRouche said when he saw that. When he saw all these riots, you know, around 1968. He said, well, that's a new fascism. That's basically what we call a green fascism. And all these guys are anti-industries. They are anti-science, anti-development. They were also anti-war, you know, the Vietnam War. But that's maybe one of the only things they did. They had a good conscience around, but they didn't do the right things about it also. The hippies didn't stop the Vietnam War. No, don't kid yourself. It's not them. But basically right now, they are the CEOs, the bank CEOs, the university directors, and all that. So, and they are giving awards to Al Gore, who has a genocidalist policy towards Africa, and towards basically going back to Dark Age, without industries, without healthcare system, without standard of living improvements. So that's, you know, that's the question of what is our relationship to the biosphere that we have to ask ourselves tonight. You know, are we just slave to the environment, or is there something which differentiates us? You know, like Patrick Moore, the co-founder of Greenpeace, said in this Channel 4 documentary, he said, well, you know, I don't mind if you don't want to say that we're higher than the other animals, but you know, you don't have to be anti-human. That's not a great way of dealing with the problem. So you know, don't let people die just because you don't want to be superior to animals. Take care of people, take care of animals, but you know, don't just fall for global warming, because that's a fraud. So I want to introduce that. And Jerry is going to go more thoroughly into this. So, but if you have questions, maybe we can take them at the end. And I would leave, you know, Jerry give the presentation.
All right, I just have a few things prepared just to go through for the evening. To present, and then hopefully we can have some discussion about some of the material that we're presenting, what we're doing politically, what we represent as a political movement, and our role in international politics. First of all, did everybody get a chance to? I'm pretty sure everybody got a copy of this pamphlet.
No?
Okay.
You have more of it?
Yeah, we have thousands.